To acknowledge and pay our respects to the traditional Aboriginal people of the Gold Coast and their descendants. We also acknowledge the many Aboriginal people from around the region, as well as the Torres Strait and South Sea Islanders for the important contribution that they've made to the community. Good morning. Let me be the first to welcome you to Microsoft Ignite. It was just over a year ago that we started a new tradition, hosting our very own Ignite conference here in Australia. A conference designed to bring together the best of our people and our products with the brightest minds across the IT professional and developer community here in Australia. And what a year it's been. We've launched the Surface Book, the Surface Hub, and the Surface Studio, Office and SQL Server 2016, even the HoloLens here in Australia, and literally hundreds of new features and services across our cloud platforms, Office and Dynamics 365, and of course, Azure. We've taken some big strides into the open source community. We joined the Linux Foundation. We open sourced .NET Core. We announced SQL Server on Linux. And I'm proud to say that Microsoft is officially now the largest contributor of open source software to GitHub on the planet. But more impressive than all of that has been the amazing innovation that we've seen come out of this community in the last year. Out of organizations of all shapes and sizes, all sectors and industries, and you'll see some great examples of that this morning in the keynote and then throughout the week. Because that's what this week is really all about. It's about disconnecting from the daily grind and reconnecting as a community. It's about getting away from the office and getting re-inspired by the role technology can play in our lives and in our work. It's a chance for us to share our technology roadmap and vision with all of you, but more importantly, it's a chance for us to listen, take your feedback, on what you want and what you need to be successful in your roles. Now, we recognize it's a big investment for you to come up here this week, and we want to deliver a return on that investment. We want to invest in your skills, your readiness, and your experience with Microsoft. In order to do that, we have over 300 subject matter experts on the ground with us today, including over 180 speakers from all around the country and all around the world, and 60 of our Microsoft MVPs. We've got 180 sessions across 10 tracks, including a world first for Ignite, an open source track. We've got 4,500 instructor-led lab seats in the learning zone and over 250 HoloLens experiences on the showcase. We want to invest in this community in particular, because I believe that our relationship with this community is the most important one that we have at Microsoft. Now, speaking of relationships, some of you may know that today is a special day. So I'd officially like to thank you and your significant others for allowing you to spend your Valentine's Day with Microsoft. Hopefully you got your chocolate hearts on the way in, and we thought, instead of red roses, a red polo might be a bit more fitting for today's festivities. For those of you who don't know Scott Guthrie, he's legendary at Microsoft as one of the greatest developers that we've ever employed. He's one of the founding fathers of .NET, and today he leads our entire cloud and enterprise division globally. Today he's here with us, representing all of Microsoft, and he's sure not to disappoint in his famous red shirt, just in time for Valentine's Day. Please join me in welcoming Scott Guthrie to the stage.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Microsoft Ignite. I'm incredibly excited to be back here in Australia again and have the chance to chat with all of you here this morning. You know, this morning I'm going to talk about the journey to the cloud and the work that we're doing at Microsoft to enable you to deliver fantastic solutions within the cloud that can really change your businesses. You know, the cloud represents what we think is really a generational shift in computing that's happening right now. And it represents major changes for pretty much every company out there, Microsoft included. And every organization over the next couple years is going to look for a strategy for how they go from where they are today to take advantage of what the cloud has to offer. Your organizations are going to look to adopt new cloud-based productivity and business application solutions that enable employees to be even more successful and to create new business processes. You know, every organization out there is going to look to build new applications that enable them to better engage with their employees and their customers than ever before. Organizations are going to look to take advantage of some of the new data and intelligence technology that's out there now. Things like machine learning, advanced analytics, artificial intelligence, IoT, and more, to really unlock new insights from that data and enable intelligent action from it. And they're going to need to ensure that they deliver all of these solutions in a secure way and to enable them to be managed holistically. And it's really the combination of all these different scenarios that we think enable organizations to become more agile, to lower their costs, and really differentiate themselves in their overall market. And the Microsoft Cloud is unique in delivering across all of these different scenarios. No other company out there offers both the breadth as well as the depth of what the Microsoft Cloud delivers. And we deliver all of this with what's called a global, trusted, and hybrid promise that we think is really differentiated in the industry and is going to enable all of you to build even better solutions. So the Microsoft Cloud, as I mentioned, is a global cloud that's scaled out all over the world. And over this last several years, we've been working hard to expand that capacity to literally run all over the world. The last time I keynoted here at Ignite, we opened the two new regions at that time in Australia. And literally every year since then, we've added dozens of new capabilities and new services all over the world. And the circles on this map now indicate what we call Azure regions, which are made up of clusters of multiple data centers where you can go ahead and deploy your solutions and your code all over the world. We now have 38 unique Azure regions. That's twice the number of locations as AWS and Google combined. And this enables you to run your applications and your solutions closer to your customers and your employees than ever before and compete in even more geographic markets. Now, what makes each of these little circles here on this dot, on this map behind me impressive is not just the number of them, but the sheer size of each of them. And we're continuing to build out and activate new data centers and more capacity across all these different regions literally every day. What I thought I'd do that would be kind of fun is actually show a video that gives you kind of a glimpse into what looks inside each of these data centers and what goes into making each of these come to life. So let's go ahead and play a quick video. So the Microsoft Cloud is optimized for organizations as well as the startups and software companies that target them. And it's not just about the technology. You know, Microsoft has decades of experience really serving and supporting businesses and governments and enterprise customers of literally all sizes. This means we really understand the critical requirements of running software for businesses and governments, including things like certifications, data sovereignty, security, and privacy. In fact, the Microsoft Cloud today now has more compliance certifications than any other cloud vendor out there. And Microsoft's also the only technology company that's delivering a complete hybrid cloud solution. And this is important because hybrid cloud isn't just a trend or a buzzword. Hybrid is really the reality that every business faces today. And at Microsoft, we deeply understand this reality, you know, more so than any other vendor. And we're the only vendor on the planet with both deep on-premises experience with our on-premise servers and products and globally scaled out public cloud infrastructure that really span the entire technology stack. Hybrid doesn't just mean connectivity between your existing on-premise data centers and a public cloud. You know, real hybrid means consistency across your entire technology estate. And hybrid consistency isn't just about infrastructure, since no company just has infrastructure. And that's why at Microsoft, you know, we've been invested in hybrid consistency across the entire technology stack, from productivity and business applications, to identity directories, to management and security, to data and application platform, and to core infrastructure. And this consistency and the comprehensive approach that we're taking to hybrid enables an incredibly powerful hybrid solution. And this is what really what Microsoft offers. And it in turn gives you the flexibility as you journey to the cloud to take advantage of cloud-based solutions and to be able to leverage a common set of skills and the same tools along the way. And all these combined capabilities are leading to some tremendous adoption of the Microsoft Cloud right now. 90% of the largest 500 companies in the world are now running their businesses using the Microsoft Cloud. These are just a handful of some of the logos, organizations that are running their businesses on the Microsoft Cloud today. What I thought I'd do is just talk about a few of them and share some of their stories. First customer I thought I'd talk about is one that's sort of an iconic brand in the automobile space, which is BMW. How many people here have a BMW? Only one person. Okay. Anyway, how many people would like a BMW? Lots more people. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that BMW did just about 18 months ago is they wanted to change their overall driving experience and build a set of solutions that enabled them to connect better with their customers. And so what they built was a cloud-connected solution that runs entirely on Azure that basically allows them to update the dashboard display inside the vehicles and provide a complete immersive experience while you're driving the car. And then a set of mobile companion applications that work, you know, on the driver's cell phone that enable them to stay connected to the car even when they're not in the vehicle. They can even go ahead and actually unlock the car in their house as they're walking out the door. And they're able to kind of provide this experience in a completely agile way so that every 3 weeks they can effectively roll out new updates and new capabilities and be able to literally make the driving experience better on a monthly basis. And they were able to go from concept to actually having this live in Azure in less than a year. And every BMW vehicle today that's sold has this experience embedded deeply within it. You know, other companies out there that are looking to connect their products and really turn them into managed services, a great example would be Rolls-Royce. So if you've flown an aircraft recently, there's at least a 50% chance that the engines on that aircraft were made by Rolls-Royce, which is another iconic manufacturer in the world. And, you know, their customers aren't the individual people riding in the plane, but typically airlines. And they're similarly, in the same way that BMW was trying to get to their customers and deliver a richer service, Rolls-Royce was doing the same. And they now provide a managed service that they deliver in the cloud, where they're taking IoT telemetry data off of the engines. They're doing advanced analytics on top of it to be able to predict when an engine might have problems and be able to encourage what's called preventative maintenance, which basically allows an airline to repair something before it actually becomes an issue, which not only leads to better safety, but also ensures that flights don't get delayed. And they've been able to build this entire experience, again, using Azure on the back end. They're using Power BI and the custom visualizations to be able to service this directly to the airlines. And they're even able to use Dynamics 365 and the new field service capabilities to orchestrate all this and deliver a fully managed service to their customers. It's not just manufacturing. You know, companies in the retail space and the consumer goods space are also taking advantage of the cloud in a big way. You know, Australia's largest retailer, Woolworths, has seen customers nationwide embrace their Woolworths Online service to get good food at good prices. And Woolworths is now using and hosting this entire experience using Azure as their cloud platform. And Azure scalability is enabling Woolworths to have high availability that it couldn't have achieved internally for the same cost. It also allows them to scale elastically to meet seasonal peaks. Typically in retailers, you have things like a holiday season at Christmas where demand goes way up and you need a lot more capacity. The beauty about having a cloud platform is it enabled Woolworths this Christmas to be able to scale up the amount of capacity they needed to be able to deliver a flawless Christmas experience. And then as traffic drops off later in the year, they can dynamically scale down their capacity to meet just what they need, giving them a great customer experience and at the same time enabling them to save a whole bunch of money and become even more profitable. And the great thing about Woolworths' solution is they're running in an active-active configuration, which also gives them a peace of mind from an architecture perspective that makes the overall system much more robust. And the platform as a service capabilities of the Microsoft Cloud are also then giving them the flexibility where they can both use infrastructure for having maximum control, but then use these platform as a service capabilities to be even more productive and be able to put them together to deliver a fantastic solution. So the next customer I'm going to talk about is another great company that I know is well known here. So, you know, as we talked about the Microsoft Cloud, there's a tremendous amount of capabilities. You're going to hear lots and lots of sessions here this week. We're going to go into more detail, and we'll show a bunch of demos of it here today on stage. What I want to do is transition now and go deeper, in particular, to one important element of the Microsoft Cloud that's particularly fond in my heart, which is Azure. And, you know, Azure is our cloud computing platform at Microsoft, and really is the core capability upon which all of our Microsoft Cloud services are built on top of. And you can use Azure for just infrastructure and take advantage of it for base compute, for virtual networkings, for storage, and run pretty much any system you want on top, whether it's a .NET system, a Java system, an SAP system running on Linux or Windows. We provide all that rich infrastructure. And what's nice then is you can also take advantage on top of that infrastructure of a whole bunch of highly managed, engineered managed services that provide even more productivity and enables you to build apps and solutions even faster. You know, Azure is open and flexible and supports the ability for you to target multiple devices, use multiple operating systems, programming languages, frameworks, data services, and tools. And this slide behind me here just highlights some of the technologies that customers are using on top of Azure today to build amazing solutions. And one of the things I like to always say is with Azure, you can use the best of the Windows ecosystem and the best of the Linux ecosystem together and use the best tool for any particular job. And what's nice is you can also easily use all this different technology together to build truly amazing solutions across the entire stack. And what I do is, for this keynote here, is maybe go deeper into one example of how we're, again, trying to take the best of the Windows ecosystem, the best of the Linux ecosystem, and put it together, and talk about some of the work we're doing with Docker and container-based technology. How many people here are using Docker or containers today? Same guy who has a BMW. Okay, that's a lesson. So, you know, I think one of the things that we hear from a lot of people right now is that adopting container-based development approaches using something like Docker is something that a lot of different teams and organizations are thinking about. A lot of them still haven't actually implemented it yet, but a lot of them are thinking about it and want to learn more. And, you know, we think that being able to use Docker as part of both your development and your IT operations approach, you know, is something that's going to be particularly interesting in the years ahead, because it enables a consistent deployment model that can enable you to build solutions that can be deployed on any Docker-enabled system. You know, with the new .NET Core, we now provide a fantastic runtime environment with the ideal characteristics to be deployed within a container. You know, it's lightweight, it loads fast, it's efficient on memory and working set, and it's cross-platform. It can run in any different container host. And you can now easily deploy container-based .NET Core applications to Azure. And with Windows Server 2016, which we just shipped a few months ago, you can also now deploy Docker-based container applications on it. And take advantage of some of all the Docker built-in management capabilities that ship as part of that release. And this provides a fantastic environment for deploying literally any type of Docker-based application, both in the cloud and in on-premises. And with Visual Studio 2017, we now provide an integrated development experience that makes it easy to develop and test Docker-based containers on your local development system. And you can now, in fact, enable any .NET-based application, whether it's a .NET Core application or one built for the full .NET framework, to run in a Docker-based container and get a rich local development and debugging experience with it. And you can then obviously easily publish and deploy it, again, whether it's to Windows Server 2016, to Azure, or even other different cloud platforms out there. What I'd like to do now is just show off a demo of how easy this is and give you a taste, if you will, of what you can do with it. So, let's go ahead and switch to my demo machine. I'm going to be bold today and do all the demos myself. Yes, one person. So let's get started here. And I'm going to use Visual Studio, and specifically the new version of Visual Studio, which is Visual Studio 2017, which is in release candidate mode right now. And it's going to ship in general availability the first week of March. So it's soon going to be possible for all of you to take advantage of it and update to it in released form. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start off by basically creating a new project. And so I'm going to launch the new project dialog here. And you'll notice here I'm going to take advantage and build this application using .NET Core, which is our new streamlined version of .NET. And so I'm just going to go ahead and create an ASP.NET Core application, make it a web application. And this is going to go ahead and create a new project on my dev environment and open it up in the Solution Explorer for me. And this is, you know, there's a whole bunch of great documentation that shows you how to get started. And what I have now is sort of just a vanilla ASP.NET Core application that I could go ahead and hit F5 and run and debug locally on top of my machine. And by default, when I do this, it's going to run in IIS Express. It's going to take advantage of this, you know, the standard kind of deployment technologies that I'm used to. And again, I can run it on any Windows machine. But let's go ahead and Docker enable this. And so, you know, the nice thing about .NET with the new release of VS 2017 is it's really easy to Docker enable systems. So easy, in fact, that we just sort of built it in as a wizard. So you can right-click, click Add, and you'll notice there's a new option here called Docker Support. Let's go ahead and click that. And what this is now doing is updating this project in the solution file, and it's going to add a few extra files into the project in the solution. Specifically, it just added in what's called a Docker file, which is a text file, sort of a YAML format that's in the project. That basically is just telling me which Docker-based image I want to base this application from and provides me a way I can configure things. And this is just standard Docker. And so this would work the same regardless of whether this is a .NET app, a Java app, a Python app, Ruby app, et cetera. By Docker enabling this project, you'll notice I also now, for my debug button, now have a little button here called Docker. And so when I push this, this is going to go ahead and compile this project, launch the debugger, and run this application not in just a standard process, but specifically within a Docker-based container host. And what we should see here in just a second is my browser open up, and this application now running contained within that Docker host, all within my local system. And just like you'd expect with a standard .NET app, I could go into any of my pieces of my application. So let's go ahead here, set a breakpoint, hit the About page. And I've now broken in the debugger, but this is an application running a container with my debugger attached with all the same capabilities that you'd expect, all at my fingertips, able now to do development. And what's kind of cool about this that you might not realize is this particular application with .NET Core, I've actually configured, so instead of it running in a Windows-based container, it's actually running in a Linux-based container. And so we're actually hosted automatically a Debian-based version of Linux on this machine that this application is running inside. And what Visual Studio did as part of this overall debug experience is automatically configured Hyper-V on my dev machine to spin up a VM with that Debian-based image. So I have a completely consistent experience picking whatever OS variant that I want. You can also go ahead and choose Windows Server as well, which we'd like you to do. But it just sort of shows off a little bit of the power that you can take advantage of this, again, to build any type of Docker-based application. So that gives you a little sense of, you know, what it's like to kind of develop and build something locally. Let's now go ahead and deploy this into a remote app environment. And so to do that, I could deploy it in a couple different places. I'm going to take advantage of the built-in publish dialog that's built into Visual Studio. And it's going to give me a couple different options of places I could deploy. I'm going to choose to deploy into Azure. And this is now going to launch a new publish dialog. This is reaching out to see if I have any preferences within the system. And this is where we're going to see how fast the network is, because it's backhauling it back to where my preferences are stored several thousand miles away. And you'll notice in this dialog that it's basically giving me an option to store a couple different things. I can configure the application name. I can configure what's called the resource group, where I want to group potentially a database or other resources inside Azure for, my app service plan, and then what's called a container registry, where I can basically configure my Docker-based images to be deployed to whenever I do a overall deployment. So I click the Create button. This is now standing up a new environment inside Azure. So this is basically going to manage virtual machines for me that have Docker enabled inside what we call Azure App Service. It's basically registering the DNS for this application I want to go ahead and deploy. and it's wiring up this Docker container registry with that application environment so that everything is basically configured so that when I go ahead and push my application, it can go ahead and now run inside the cloud. What we should see here in just a second is my profile with all of these different settings being saved. There it is. And then basically now Visual Studio is going ahead and doing a clean build of this application. And once it finishes, it's going to push up this Docker-based image into the cloud, deploy it on that environment, and hopefully in about 20 seconds, we'll have a fully deployed Docker-based application running on the internet. So it's finished building. It's now going to start pushing. You'll notice it pops up the standard Docker deployment tool. And so it's now updating. You can see that first image, which is the actual application image. You'll notice there's a couple of other different things that it's mounting here below it. One of the nice things about Docker and container-based approaches is you don't have to ship a single monolithic image when you want to deploy something. So this is actually taking an image of my application, composing an image, for example, of ASP.NET Core, which then depends on .NET Core, which then depends on an OS configuration, and then ultimately a base OS image. And as part of this deployment process, it's fusing all that together, again, running it inside a cloud-based environment. And in about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, it finished deploying. And this application now is no longer running locally. Instead, this is actually running deployed into Azure as an application that anyone, including all of you in the audience, could go ahead and hit and actually see running in production. And that's sort of as simple as from file new project to create an app to get it live in the web. So, you know, this demo highlighted hopefully how easy it is to get started now with container-based development technology using Visual Studio 2017 and .NET. And really how simple it is now you can use it to deploy container-based apps both to Azure, and then you can use the exact same approach to deploy it to Windows Server 2017. And in this demo, you know, we kind of showed taking advantage of the new container support specifically within our Azure Container Service, which we've now made available as part of our Azure App Service. And this new container support enables you to package up and deploy any web or mobile-based backend as a container and use it to scale out into the cloud. This works with any language or development stack. And we really think this new support is going to make it incredibly easy for developers, both .NET and all other platforms, to be able to really get easily started with containers and, again, be able to take advantage of them in the cloud. So where containers really get even more powerful is when you start to take advantage of them across multiple parts of your solution. So instead of just bundling up an entire solution as a container, you know, how can you leverage a more what we call microservice-based approach where you can have different pieces of your application each deployed inside separate containers out there. So for example, you might have your web app talk to multiple back-end microservices that you want to deploy and run using containers. You know, things like a shipping service or a tax service or a catalog service. Some of these microservices might even be written in different programming languages or even run in different operating systems. And the updates that we've now made inside Azure make it incredibly easy for you to build and deploy these types of microservice-based solutions. And to do so with what we call a full DevOps lifecycle that enables you to integrate this work across any size development and IT professional team. With our Azure Container Service, we now provide a managed platform service that enables you to deploy up and orchestrate application updates using containers. And this container service is, in fact, the only container service provided by any of the major cloud platforms that supports all of the different open source container orchestration frameworks, including things like Apache Mesos, Docker Swarm, as well as Kubernetes. And the Azure Container Service supports also both Windows Server and Linux-based containers, and it's available in general availability form today. And we're going to make it available also with our on-premise Azure stack, which again gives you a complete end-to-end development and an IT lifecycle for building these kind of microservice-based solutions. And we've also updated our Visual Studio team services to be able to provide a complete DevOps solution for container-based development. And so, for example, we now provide and deliver integrated continuous integration and pipeline with custom Docker tasks. And we're also delivering automated multi-container deployment support and rich release management that you can leverage. So for example, here inside VSTS, you can see this is how we've configured a particular build to occur of our application. On the left-hand side, you can see all the different build tasks that you can integrate with. that already exist and are built into the platform in order to kick off builds. We have with release management, the ability for both your IT team and your developers to basically set policies as to when things get deployed into production and even set up multiple staging environments automatically across these. And so I could have, for example, a dev, test, production style environment. And then I can basically configure anytime I do a deployment into these environments, how to set these up, how to scale them, and how to manage them holistically end to end. And we think the combination really delivers a fantastic way that you can start to build new applications, you can take advantage of the latest development and IT approaches in terms of managing them, and again, you can scale them literally all over the world. So I showed off, you know, kind of a demo of me writing some code and talk a little bit about sort of how you can build new applications using the cloud. Rather than just hear me talk about it, what I'd like to do is invite Jamie Leach from Gruntify, which is a great company based here in Australia. It's a startup that's going to talk a little bit about what Gruntify does and how they're building kind of next generation modern applications using the Microsoft Cloud. Here's Jamie.
Thank you.
So can you maybe start off by talking a little bit about what Gruntify does and what kind of solutions you guys deliver?
Absolutely. So Gruntify is a data collection, workflow management, and data analytics platform. We help our clients actually do a number of things in three easy steps. So step one is collection of data in the field. That can be through photos, video, audio, or by using fully customizable forms. The moment they hit submit on that front end, which can be captured on any smart device, the user's identity, the time and date, and the location of that data capture is automatically captured at the same time. Step two, it shows up in real time at the browser back end, where the client can either analyze, categorize, review that data. But if they need to act on it, they can utilize the Agile workflow management tool to immediately share that data in its unique format with any stakeholders.
That's cool. Now, my understanding is you originally created Gruntify to tackle the problem of graffiti.
Absolutely. So Gruntify was actually born out of a Queensland Government Open Innovation Challenge at the end of 2014, run jointly with PwC. The problem was the government department wanted to deal with, obviously, the recording of graffiti, but get it cleaned up as quickly as possible. So a number of companies and organizations were invited to come and, I guess, participate in a hack day, if you like. And Gruntify was the winning solution that went to proof of concept and then was actually implemented by the government department.
That's great. Now, can you maybe talk about why did Gruntify choose to build all this on Azure?
Absolutely. So obviously, the cloud is very important for both us and our clients. We've got a number of federal, state, local governments, large corporates, and internationals now, and they need to be able to scale up, just as you said, with both Rio and Woolworths through peak performance times. But it's more of the Azure tools that really make Gruntify possible. For instance, we use the Visual Studio team services to share code, communicate with both internal and external stakeholders, track the progress of work, and ship the software. We also use API management as a turnkey solution to publish the two-way APIs that we've created, where we can pull data into the front end of Gruntify, but we can also publish or integrate with pre-existing backends of especially our large clients that have a lot of CRMs, as you like. We've got a number of APIs that we are readily implementing. Push notifications, for one. Not perhaps the most exciting API out there, but a lot of our clients traditionally use costly SMSs to communicate with, you know, their client base, and sometimes that can lack that targeted communication. Push notifications are significantly less in cost, and one client of ours managed to save over $700,000 each year just on their communication. The latest API, Scott, is actually facial recognition, which we've implemented into the front end of Gruntify now, particularly for public safety. People can not only capture an image, but they can check that image against a database, seeing if there is a potential match before notifying people with Amber Alerts, missing people, suspicious activity, and such, yeah.
That's great. Now, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, now that you're Bill Gruntify, you're in the Australian market today, what's on the horizon now?
Well, last year we were very fortunate to sign our first international partnership with a Dubai-based facilities management juggernaut, I guess you could say. So bedding down that relationship in the Middle East and expanding into North Africa is definitely what we see as a huge potential. We have almost weekly inquiries out of the US, so it's inevitable this year we think we'll be pushing into the US. The UK shouldn't be far behind, and then probably coming back around to Singapore or somewhere like that afterwards.
I know a cloud vendor that has regions in each of those places, so that's good to hear.
I might be knocking on your door next month, Scott.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing a little bit about your success story. I mean, I think it's a really inspiring story for how you can go from literally concept 2 years ago to being, you know, not only a great solution that's really changing the lives here, but you know, now expanding all over the planet. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much, and
thank
it's
you,
great
Scott.
To see your success. Thank you. You know, one of the things that Jamie talked about was, you know, how they're not just building applications, but also, you know, taking advantage of this combination that's now possible, where you can leverage software and code with data. And really, when you put those two together, you can really enable some magic to happen as you build and deploy solutions. And we're seeing this kind of pattern happen over and over again, where people will be able to, again, combine those two things together to create truly intelligent apps. What I thought I'd do is actually, as we kind of talk about some of the capabilities we have here, is actually first show a video of one of the customers here in Australia that's taking advantage of this software plus data combination to not only build some amazing apps, but also really change the environment and change the success of farmers all over Australia. So we can go ahead and play the video of them talking about it.
It's amazing that the very thing that we depend upon for survival is subject to one of the most unpredictable forces on the planet. When you know how much of our food supply could be lost even in the tiniest variations of weather, it's a miracle that we exist.
The Yield's an Australian ag tech business. Our purpose is to feed the world without wrecking the planet.
The Yield takes microclimate sensing data and combines it with predictive modelling so that we can help growers improve their yields and reduce their risks.
The Yield specifically designed a sensing system and we send this data to Microsoft's cloud.
We also use Azure machine learning to predict local conditions and reduce uncertainty.
We're partnering with Bosch to develop our microclimate sensing system and we're a Microsoft partner.
You're never going to replace farmers. What we do is give them the technology to make their job easier.
We can save the industry millions by just knowing the exact time to harvest so we can extend shelf life.
Today, we're using our technology to improve profitability for growers. But who knows? In the future, we might be relying on this type of technology to feed ourselves.
The data's all there. It's just a matter of the right technology to make use of it.
So one of the cool things that we provide as part of the Microsoft Cloud Platform is a bunch of managed services that you can leverage to build and tackle any type of data analytic challenge. And so you can take crop yields, you can take graffiti visuals, you can go ahead and look at mining data and IoT preventative maintenance. And you know, being able to kind of take that data, apply logic to it, and get insight is incredibly powerful. The other thing that we've recently launched is something that I think also allows you to take this technology and bring it into organizations that might not have a data scientist, who might not know how to create a machine learning model and take advantage of all those advanced features, and instead is looking for a very specific task that they want to get done and you know, basically want to be able to call an API in order to do it. And these capabilities are what we call our Azure Cognitive Services. And these are basically makes it super easy, again, to integrate into any existing app. You don't need to set up a database. You don't need to go ahead and stand up a machine learning model. Instead, it's very easy to call these, pass in some data, get back a result, and the result enables you to do some pretty amazing things. And what I thought I'd do is actually switch over now and do another demo that show off a little bit what you can actually do as part of these services. And so this is an app that you can actually download off the web in our Azure GitHub account. That has a whole bunch of pre-built samples with code that you can go ahead and look at to kind of see how these different solutions are built. And one of them I thought I'd actually show off leverages both the facial detection capabilities that we have as part of our Azure Cognitive Services, as well as what we call emotion detection. And it does a pretty interesting approach for how you can do some neat things. So it's called Real-Time Crowd Insights. And one of the things you'll notice here as I'm walking around is notice that box that is following my face. And this is basically taking advantage of facial detection so that you can feed it any image, including in this case a video, and it'll actually identify for you all the people in that picture. And if you look at it closely, it also, ooh, I'm not 62. This keynote's taking a lot out of me. I'm aging in real time. Come on, it said 32 once. It's mostly accurate. But you can notice it's detecting I'm a male. It's approximating my age, which if I don't have a blue background and a bunch of shadow on my face, it might be a little even closer. But it's sort of getting closer. And what you'll notice there is also this little happy face, neutral face on the right-hand side. So right now it says I'm neutral. If I smile, it notices I'm happy. And if I'm sad, I could, you know, sort of neutral. But anyway, it gives you kind of a sense a little bit in terms of, again, how you can call these APIs and how you can take advantage of them, you know, in a lot of different scenarios. You know, what you can do to make these things even richer, and this is a kind of a cool capability, is you can actually train what's called a model. And so you can think of training machine learning models as something that data scientists and PhDs do. But, you know, again, the nice thing about sort of these APIs is anyone can do it, including me, who doesn't actually, you know, not an expert on machine learning models. And this sort of simple app lets me actually search on the web. So I'm going to create a Scott Guthrie contact in this system. And this is now going to go ahead and do a Bing search. And it's going to find a whole bunch of pictures of me, including ones where I had more hair, off the web. I don't know who that is. But anyway, it's basically just uploading these pictures of me. And then what we're going to do is basically just tell the system here, you know, go ahead and train a model based on these pre-existing pictures, some of which are years old. Now what's kind of cool is when we go back and run this again, watch what happens. Not only does it detect me as a male, it now actually identifies that this is actually Scott Guthrie. And it's even using the Bing data to get sort of a little bit closer accuracy in terms of my age. And it can say it's about 58%, or now it's 70% sure it's actually Scott Guthrie. And you know, again, it's sort of a simple example where you can train this model, again, without having to be a data scientist, just by uploading some pictures, then calling an API call, and do some amazing things with it. And what's nice about all these things is, these cognitive services, is there's literally dozens of these APIs that you can leverage, and we'll show some demos a little bit later on that incorporate some of these APIs as well. So whether it's sentiment analysis, whether it's text analysis, whether it's facial detection, whether it's even text-to-speech or speech-to-text conversion, you can easily leverage this, and it's, in many cases, only 3 or 4 lines of code you can write in any programming language in order to actually leverage it. And if you want to go even harder core, you can just call these REST APIs directly and be able to integrate it into literally any system out there. So, you know, what I thought I'd do is actually talk about, you know, now that we've sort of shown off what you can do with the technology, is invite another great startup that's based here in Australia on stage to talk about how they're taking advantage of Azure and specifically using a lot of our data analytic capabilities to build a pretty amazing solution that is being used not just here in Australia, but by lots of companies elsewhere around the world. And they're a particularly hot startup, so if you're in the startup scene, you probably have heard of them. They're called HyperAnna, and I'd like to invite Natalie here on stage to talk a little bit about it.
Hi, Scott. Guys.
So tell us a little bit about HyperAnna.
Sure. So, well, let me start with the story of how we started this startup. So my co-founder Sam and I have spent a number of years working in data science. And we realize is a huge inefficiency in getting data and translate that into insights. I mean, you see, business intelligence was invented 20 years ago, and it was a big step forward then. But now we really need to look at technology that focuses on human interaction and has contextual understanding and awareness of the interaction. So let me give you an example. So every day we jump on the internet and we perform searches, or you might ask Cortana a question, right? Immediately you get answers for yourself specifically for that question. Now this type of experience is not available in the enterprise market, not in business intelligence. So HyperAnna is an artificial intelligence data analyst. Everybody can ask questions literally and be able to get actionable insight, but also statistically relevant insight. And this is such a different experience than getting, I guess, a traditional report or a dashboard. So currently, I know that this would resonate. Business users have to depend on IT and business intelligence team, right? And this creates a huge backlog. But with Anna, anybody in an organization can interact with data in real time. So just like you asking me a question, you can ask Anna a question about financial performances or about marketing and get insights in 6 seconds. I mean, just imagine the impact of this type of technology in large organizations.
That's fantastic. Now, my understanding also is, you know, the thing that makes HyperAnna particularly powerful is that as a user uses it more, the system gets smarter. Can you talk a little bit about how this system's using, say, Azure's machine learning capabilities to kind of build this and use this?
Absolutely. So let me try to explain to you and everyone here the type of problems that we need to solve with machine learning first. So I talk a little bit about how AI agent really needs to have that contextual understanding. Right? And real life example, when someone from insurance industry says premium, it has a completely different meaning compared to when someone in retail says it. And it's crucial that Anna be able to understand this and interpret the information according to her users. So we train Anna by using public data as well as user interaction and keep on fine-tuning the experience.
That's fantastic. Now, you've launched here in Australia, and I know you've got some really major customers like Westpac that are using it today and you know, help make HyperAnna a really well-funded startup, which is fantastic. You know, there's also kind of this potential, obviously, to take HyperAnna all over the world. You know, what's next for your international plans, and you know, how are you going to go ahead and take this all over the world?
Well, in every organization that has employed Anna and across departments, we have received amazing advocacy and adoption. And I guess to this organization, right, HyperAnna is really the enabler to allow anyone to connect with data and insight with speed and ease. And for us as, I guess, the team behind HyperAnna, we want to and we feel challenged to take our technology and our experience to the world stage. So the US as well as the market in Asia is definitely on our roadmap this year. And Microsoft has been, I guess, a great partner in cloud technology in Australia for us. So we would love to take this relationship to our other markets.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to see the success that you've had. And thank you again for sharing it with us here on stage today. And best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
So we've talked today about, you know, a number of different things. You know, we talked about infrastructure and how you can take, you know, one of the largest SAP systems in the world and actually move it to run in the Microsoft cloud. We've talked about how you can build next generation applications. And adopt new things like microservice and Docker-based container approaches and mix the best of the Windows ecosystem and the best of the Linux ecosystem together. And I've talked a little about how you can use data, both in terms of from a data storage perspective, but also then, more importantly, from an analytic perspective to kind of get new insights from that data and build next-generation applications. And what I thought I'd do is actually talk and end with another demo that talks about how, you know, the power of the Microsoft Cloud isn't just about any one of these individual capabilities or any one of these individual scenarios. They're all very powerful, but you know, really what makes them amazing is when you can compose them together with capabilities across the Microsoft Cloud to basically deliver solutions and really change your business processes in a fundamental way, that a lot of this power really lights up. And that ability to use productivity software with Office 365, to use business apps solutions with Dynamics, to be able to build custom applications and workflows with Azure, to be able to use the intelligence capabilities that we have with cognitive services and machine analytics, and then the ability to secure and manage that all in a holistic way ends up being incredibly powerful. And what I do is just kind of show off kind of a simple example of that in action, where I could have taken any data source, but just to make it a little scary and fun, I'll actually take it from Twitter, which means I don't actually know what the demo will show. Hopefully good things. But basically what I thought I'd do is just show off kind of a simple process that kind of incorporates all these different types of services in the Microsoft Cloud together. And so what this app I'm going to show is going to take is basically raw Twitter content that's coming in with particular hashtags. It's going to go ahead and use what's called an Azure Logic app, which is a serverless-based computing option that we have in Azure that allows you to run workflows and long-running processes. And it's then going to go ahead and use, again, a lot of these capabilities we talked about. It's going to use cognitive services to understand the tweet. It's going to use Power BI to visualize all the tweets in action so we can actually understand how our system's working. And then based on the outcome, it's going to integrate with Dynamics as well as the new Microsoft Teams to drive a business outcome. And across this, it's combining now Azure, Office, and Dynamics into one overall solution. So let's go ahead and flip over the demo machine and see what people are saying on Twitter today. So I basically logged in here inside the Azure Management Console, which basically gives me a way that I can monitor and manage all of my Azure services in one place. And this allows me now to use also Active Directory to manage Intune, to manage Power BI and other capabilities as well. And it's really designed for both developers and IT professionals to be able to use together across their teams. And one of the services I'm going to launch here is an app type that we have in Azure, as I mentioned, called Logic Apps. And this is a great example of what we call kind of a serverless compute option within Azure, where I don't have to create VMs, I don't actually even have to pay for any compute that's running. Instead, I can basically upload code, or in this case here, a workflow that I want to basically run in response to some action taking place. And then Azure will automatically scale this out and actually manage and monitor this for me. And what this particular workflow does is basically orchestrates a business process very similar to that slide that I just showed, where it's going to go ahead and take advantage of some built-in connectors that we have inside Azure to pull data, in this case here, from Twitter. And so specifically, I'm going to go ahead here, hopefully in just a second, Twitter. Is nice, or more specifically, if the network is good. Let's try that one more time. The joy of live demos involving a social network. There we go. So basically, right here, I basically have a feed that's coming in from Twitter, where specifically I'm searching for text that has the hashtag Azure. And I'm basically saying every 15 seconds, just go off to Twitter, find out if there's any tweets out there where people are talking about Azure. And then what I can do with Logic Apps, which is pretty nice, is basically stitch together a sequence of steps that are going to execute whenever a tweet comes back as part of it. So for example here, you can see one of the steps that I've set up is called Detect Sentiment. And it's basically mapped to one of those cognitive services that I showed earlier, where it's going to automatically take the tweet text and basically say, score it as to whether this person is happy or sad. And the beauty here is I don't even have to write code in order to do this. I'm taking advantage of that cognitive service API, but I'm able to basically just literally drop it into the designer, paste in this text that's coming from my tweet command above it, and it's going to go ahead and basically score on a scale of 0 to 1, is the person frustrated, in which case they're close to 0, or happy, in which case they're close to 1. I'm also going ahead and calling another of these cognitive APIs that are built in called key phrases. So it's going to basically parse the text and look for what are common things that people might talk about. Deployment, security, VMs, Linux, Windows. They're going to categorize based on what they're saying and bring back a model for me that I can go ahead and plot and use. You can even call out to something like an Azure function, which is another one of our serverless-based compute options, where I can go ahead and upload custom code in C Sharp or JavaScript or Java or other programming languages that I want to basically just insert some extra logic that isn't sort of easily displayed here in a graphical flow. And then it's taking advantage of a built-in connector where I can go ahead and take the results of all these things and upload them into a BI data set using Power BI. And so you can see here, it's going to go ahead and take the tweet text. It's going to go ahead and take the score as to whether the person was happy or sad, where they tweeted about it, when it was created, and some of the key phrases that were in the body, and basically upload that into the Power BI dashboard so everyone on my team can now view it. And then, because I want to take some action in case people are unhappy, you'll notice here I basically, inside the designer, have what's called a condition inside my workflow. And what I'm going to do here is basically say if the score, meaning the person's happy or sad, is less than point, or should be less than, let's say, 0.3, just to do it in real time here, it's going to go ahead and dynamically route that item into a Microsoft Teams webhook. So this is going to post it into a Microsoft Teams channel, so anyone on my team can actually see it in real time. And then, because I want to have someone in our customer support team follow up, I'm going to go ahead and post it into a Dynamics 365 CRM system and create a customer support ticket. And you know, now I have a pretty simple workflow, again, where I'm taking the data, in this case from Twitter, but it could be from any source, performing a bunch of custom logic, I'm integrating machine learning, I'm calling out to Office, I'm calling out to Dynamics, you know, all in kind of an integrated way. And what's cool is I could add even more steps if I want to. So for example, if I wanted to add a new step or a new action, I could actually take advantage of all these different services that are built in. So for example, I could write to an SAP system or pull data from an SAP system, both in the cloud and on premises. I could go ahead and you know, call out to Basecamp or call out to Bitly or Chatter or a DB2 database or an Oracle system or SharePoint server that's running either on-prem or in the cloud and a whole bunch more. And you know, we have a bunch of built-in connectors, but you can also go ahead and easily write your own. And then all you need to do is basically just hit save, and this is now a workflow running in the cloud that's running that's going to go ahead and operate for me. And so here's a simple example of it. Again, it's always scary when you're looking at real data. You can see there's a few people, they're starting to tweet more in Australia. Good news is people are generally pretty happy. You can see anything above, you know, 0.85 is really happy, so it's showing all those tweets in time. But you notice there's a couple of outliers here where it looks like our sentiment score is lower. And again, those are the ones that we want to understand. Where are they tweeting from? What are they tweeting about? And again, if they're really upset and having a problem, how do we follow up? Again, the beauty about that workflow is I now have a Microsoft Teams room, sort of think of it like Slack if you're familiar with Slack, where every one of these negative tweets is now going ahead and actually, Azure is great, I am sad. I think that's someone from the audience. Thank you. You can sometimes throw off the machine learning, it's still trained. But again, I can basically now see across my entire team. I like red shirts, but I'm sad I'm not wearing one. Cool. This is just proving it's real. There's someone in this audience, and I'm a little scared to keep watching what you're going to say, because you might say something inappropriate. So, but again, gives you a sense here of how you can stitch these things together. How you literally can take real-time feeds, create this business process. And the beauty about all this stuff is, again, I didn't have to write code, but I could integrate with code. I didn't have to be a machine learning expert. I could use existing services, or I could call out and build my own model, like HyperAnna and Grunify have done, in order to actually infuse my own intelligence. And I can use this not just from a coding perspective and for custom apps. I can integrate inside Office. I can integrate inside Dynamics. I can visualize everything in Power BI. And that's sort of some of the power of the overall Microsoft Cloud that enables you to kind of build those solutions. And then from an IT professional side, you know, one of the things that we also make really easy is for you to not only go ahead and build these solutions, but obviously then operate and manage them in a holistic way across your environment. And for each of these individual little tasks here that have triggered, including ones that have done recently, I can go ahead and basically see exactly what's going on as part of that particular flow. And this is actually even just showing me in a graph of a particular tweet that came in. I can see what the tweet was, and I can actually track end-to-end every step of the way what happened and how long it took. And so again, it provides me a great way I can debug and monitor this use a standard set of tools end-to-end to make sure it's secure and managed. So just a simple example, if you will, of some of the capabilities that the Microsoft Cloud provides, not just in the Azure space, but across all these different spaces, and the power of what happens when you can put them all together in a single solution. So I've talked a lot about Azure and some of the services that we have in there. There's a lot more that obviously that I can cover in a single talk. The great news is there's wonderful talks throughout today and this week on all the things that I showed today. There's a great Logic Apps session that I think the Logic Apps PM that's here wanted me to plug on stage. There's great ones on .NET Core, there's great ones on cognitive services and a whole bunch more. And you know, the real power, if you will, of the Microsoft Cloud is, again, how do you use all these different things together? And throughout this week, you're going to see great courses on Office 365, on using enterprise mobility and security in order to go ahead and secure and manage all this holistically, on the great things that are happening in SQL and in the data analytics space, and some of the great things you can do with things like Power BI. And you know, we're really excited to be able to talk more about all these different technologies. I want to say a big thank you to everyone here for coming to the event and for all that you do with Microsoft. And you know, we're really excited to see what happens when you put all these things together and the amazing solutions I know you can build with them. So thanks again for coming. I hope you have a fantastic week. It's great to be here in Australia, and thanks again.
So once more, could you please put your hands together for Scott? He's traveled all the way down from Redmond to be with us here today. And it's great to have him here in Australia on the Gold Coast and on stage. I also want to thank Steve and Jamie and Natalie for sharing with us today. You guys were awesome. So when you know Scott was talking about cognitive services, and one of the things under the umbrella on cognitive services is natural language processing. And natural language processing is awesome when you're talking about building a bot. Now, so for Ignite, we've built a bot, and I'm joined here with Jordan on stage to sort of talk through not just what the bot is, but how we built it. Now, the thing about the Ignite bot is your personal Ignite assistant in your pocket. It's going to be able to give you access to personal information about your sessions, information about the event, but also about the surroundings of the event. Now, the thing I get asked a lot is, what is all this hype with bots? Why bots now? You know, 20 years ago, I used to have an IRC channel bot, and it used to talk to me. But why now? And now is the point in time where you've actually got this pervasive nature of messaging platforms, Facebook, Snapchat, Skype. And so you have all these messaging platforms, but also you can now combine that with all these intelligent systems, such as cognitive services. And so when we're thinking about intelligent systems, you know, when we built the bot, we've leveraged multiple intelligent systems. And the main intelligence system that sort of drives it at the top end of the architecture is actually Lewis, which is the language understanding intelligence system.
Hey guys. There's so many different ways that you can phrase the same question. And traditionally for computer systems, it's been very difficult to really understand what it is the user's trying to ask. And so that's why we need Lewis, the language understanding intelligence services. We take, in our bot, we take the text that's been submitted, and we pass it off to Lewis, and we receive back an intent of what the user was really asking. And so what I've got here is a piece of JSON data that the Lewis system sent back. And you can see the query that I've passed in, what is my next session, and it's given me back an intent. It's just one of many intents that we have. But you can see that it'll be really simple for a computer program to be able to understand what the user has just asked. So by way of example, if I was to ask our real bot, what is my next session? It's going to go away and come back. Oh, look at that. It's actually my own session. Bit of a plug there. So it's personalized. You're able to go and add sessions to it and ask it things like that. And that's thanks to Lewis. He'd understood what I was trying to ask.
And so when you think about, you know, intelligence services, that you can add a multitude of intelligence services. And so the other intelligence service that we've plugged into is we've leveraged Q&A Maker. Now, Q&A Maker, you can point it at a tab-delivered Q&A document like a spreadsheet, or you can point it at your existing Q&A on your website. So if we don't hit an intent in Lewis, it then falls down and it falls back to leveraging Q&A Maker.
So much the same way as Lewis, the Q&A maker can take a question that's phrased in many different ways and match it against those series of question and answers and hopefully get a response. And just like any machine learning based system, you're able to test it and train it and refine it over time, so it keeps getting better as you go on. And again, the Q&A maker is a RESTful endpoint, super easy to integrate into existing apps. They don't have to be bots, it can go into any type of app. So I can ask it questions, in this case, about the event. So I could say, where can I get a taxi? And it'll give me a response. It's come back from the Q&A maker. I can also ask, it has a bit of a personality. I can also ask it, what is the Ignite Learning Zone? We've got about 200 question and answer pairs in there.
So the Ignite Learning Zone is actually, for those that weren't here last year, is actually going to be on the southern end of upstairs over here. At the Ignite Learning Zone, you can do a heap of hands-on labs, instructor-led learning labs. You can also do practice exams, and you can get certified. And if you do get certified, you'll get a pilot's pass, more on that in a bit. So you've gone and you've hit Lewis, and there's been no intent hits there, and then you go down to Q&A Maker, and there's nothing in the Q&A. What's next? So the other intelligence service that we added is Azure Search. Now, Azure Search is really your catch-all. So, you know, Lewis has a bit of fuzzy logic in it to understand language and the different ways you might word things, and so does Q&A Maker. But Azure Search is just your raw text index search of everything in the database, and it's sort of a bit more of a relaxed, fuzzier search. So let's say you're going to search for something such as Visual Studio, and you have your typo.
It's done.
It's done?
Yep.
What you end up with is it still comes back with the Visual Studio session. So that's all going through Azure. And so, you know, so we find a hit. And then what other intelligence services can you have? You could probably keep going forever, and you know, we never built it. But the reality is that the next thing we added was Bing Translator. Now, Bing Translator supports translation to and from over 60 languages, and it really easily can be integrated.
So if Lewis doesn't hit, the Q&A maker doesn't hit, and Azure Search doesn't hit, we're starting to think what's going on. So we go off to the Bing Translator with the original query and have it detect which language actually is being spoken. And if it detects that it is in English, then we actually go back to the user in the language they are speaking and ask them, hey, would you like the bot to actually start translating for you? And so I'm going to say hello in French, and it's gone off to the knowledge base and it hasn't had a hit. But then it is actually going to come back to me and say, we'll try that again. This seems to be the theme of the day. It's going to come back and it's going to go, hey, it looks like you're not speaking English. That's not going to work. So we might just skip that bit.
Yeah, okay. It does work. The other bit that we haven't talked about is the bot connector. Now, the bot connector is the piece that connects all of those client platforms to your bot. Now, the beauty of the bot connector is it abstracts your bot away. So if you want to, in the future, connect, you know, we're connected to Skype and Teams at the moment, but if in the future we want to connect it to Facebook or Snapchat or something else, we can do that without having to make any changes to the bot, and we get all the capabilities that we have with the bot.
One of the greatest things about the intelligence services that we're using is that they operate so easily together. If they can understand what a human's trying to ask them, they can certainly understand what each other's service is trying to ask. They're not some rigid, logic-based jigsaw puzzle that you need to try and slam together. They're intelligent, they're designed to work with other systems. The beauty about the bot is that you can build it with skills that you already have, existing skill sets. So our bot is built with C#, it's based in Web API, and it's hosted on the Azure App Service. So if you want to know more about how the bot was built, then just ask the bot, how were you built? Also, if you want to give feedback about the bot, then I encourage you to ask the bot, how would you go and give feedback? And just before I finish up, I'd like to just say thanks to Tim Hill, Dipanjan Ghosh, and Darren Jefford. Without you guys, we wouldn't have been able to put this together today. So thank you very much, guys.
Now, if you want to get hold of the bot, we'll be sharing the link to it on Twitter, on MSAU Ignite. It will be on the website, but we'll share the link over on Twitter. With that, I'd like to thank Jordan for joining
me on stage.
So, so the next thing, which we couldn't do because the language wasn't working, is I'm going to share with you where the welcome reception this evening. So the welcome reception will be down in the expo hall, where we'll have all our exhibitors and sponsors, including our platinum sponsors, AvPoint and Telstra. I'd like to thank for all their support. They've been awesome. The other thing that's going to be down there is going to be the Microsoft showcase. So all the exhibitors, sponsors, and ourselves will have a heap of the latest and greatest stuff down there that we can share with you. And there might be some sneak peeks, some other stuff. The other thing, the other celebration that I can share with you is also on Thursday night, and that is the Spark After Dark. Now, Spark After Dark will be held here at the Convention Center, and there'll be a heap of activities to do. There will be the Chill Out Bar, which is an area where you can chill out. There will be Plugged In, which is the area where we'll have Xbox on the big screen. And then later on in the evening, we'll move over to Band Jam, for those of you interested and musically inclined. We'll have the Drone Hangar, where you'll be able to fly drones. Just not all of you at once. And then there's going to be the Alley. And the Alley is where we're going to have gladiators and sumo suits. That's you as gladiators and sumo suits. We haven't brought in our own. And then we'll have the Underground, which is down in the car park. We have laser skirmish and arcade games. Now, if you want to fly a drone, you need to get your pilot's pass. So if you get certified, the first people that get certified will get pilot's passes. We'll also be providing or drawing winners who do their evaluations to get pilot passes on the night. So if you want a pilot's pass, make sure you get your evaluations in between now and Thursday. Also, make sure you pick up your wristbands for the party on Thursday and make sure you wear them, otherwise you're not going to get in. So what's up next? So there are two time slots up next. They have kickoff sessions in them. I recommend that you go to two. They're going to be repeated, so you can go to two. Go to the one that's probably the track that you are interested in, and one you're not too sure about, because you'll probably find out that there is something in that track that you really want to go on and find out. The other thing is, for those of you who won the golden ticket to the HoloLens experience, can you please just come down here after the keynote for about 5-10 minutes so we can get your time and schedule in for the HoloLens experience. Now, as Toby was saying earlier, we've got 180 sessions, we've got like 60 MVPs in the audience, we've got engineers and product managers that have come all the way from Redmond, from HQ. We've got over 300 people here supporting the event. But most of all, in this room right now, there are 2,300 experts. This week is an incredible opportunity for you to network, to meet each other, and to actually build out the expertise of the people with the people that you know. So with that, I wish you all an amazing Ignite, and I'll see you at the welcome reception this evening. Love is in the air.